If there's anyone online, press star 7 and ask us a question. And that also means, Stuart, you're most welcome to come back. Don't feel you have to be stay quiet. Hamish, you'd like to say anything at all?
Just back to the compost. The last time I heard Elaine Ingham speak about compost, her method is turning it pretty regularly, every few days, and she gave a spirited description of composting in her world. She then took a deep breath and said, well, there's another way to make compost, and that's the biodynamic way, which she said, I call that a vermicompost. And she said the biodynamic people only turn it once. And that's just confirming what John said. We actually let the worms and the microbes do all the work. You don't have to spend horsepower and fuel and hours constantly turning it. And a lot of the stuff that I've seen constantly turned ends up what I call mulch. It's broken down. It looks all brown and it is organic. But to me, a real compost is something that has been through a microbe, been through a worm, and you get this rich colloidal substance. And by doing the static heap and just turning it once so that the outside becomes the inside and vice versa, so that all the seeds and everything get cooked and processed, that seems to be sufficient. And again, as I said earlier, if you fit these things into your annual cycle, you'll find you don't need to be making compost that's ready in 2 weeks or 6 weeks. You can actually make your compost long enough ahead so that it's ready when you need it. And as I said, like shearing, like putting out the bulls or calf marking or whatever, it's you fit it into the annual cycle, and then it'll just you let it cook and let the microbes do the work. It's cheaper and easier and more enjoyable.
I think, Hamish, my description of mechanically speeded compost, it is not as high a percentage humus as the static heap is using the compost preparations.
I agree.
And
yeah.
It is, it's the humus that we want.
Yeah,
and I think the percentages in humus, the only lot that I've had tested in about the last 10 years, there is a big difference. And I think that's what we get by making conditions suitable for the microbes to do the work for us.
Yeah, that's a very good differentiation between humus and organic matter. Organic matter is not necessarily humus.
No.
I think one very good point that I'd like to bring up is if there's someone wanting to check the difference between compost turning and the biodynamic system, why wouldn't they try both systems and evaluate for themselves without bellyaching too much about it?
Absolutely, yeah.
By all means, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Just on that, there's a retired vet who's doing some work at the... at his local school down at Scott's Head down here, and he got the school kids to do all the work, and he did the scientific monitoring sort of thing. And he after about a year, he gave up doing any of the organic stuff. He said the biodynamic stuff was just so far ahead that he just gave up on the organic. So, by all means, trial it, and then you work out of your own experience.
Yeah. Why take anyone else's word for it? Give it a try. And as you say, as you illustrated, when Peter Proctor worked with that vineyard person, it took 8 or 10 years for step one, or 8 or 10 years to step two. So, if you can learn on the wisdom of you two gentlemen, you could save sort of 8, 16, or 20 years.
Yeah, 50.
Look, I mean, yeah, it's all fine. Look, concept's not easy to. It's not easy to change your mind when you've been influenced by industrial influences for so long. So, Mind you, biodynamics has been going for 90 or 100 years, so I think there's plenty of proof that it does work.
Look, my experience is that the mindset in the bush is certainly softening up, if not opening up, and I see people now open to biological or different ways that 5 years ago wouldn't have even given you the time of day on it. So it is changing.
Great, great. And how do you find that, John?
Well, I think that, to me, it's extremely encouraging because I believe that all farmers have powers of observation that very quickly identify any worthwhile results that they get. They can see improvements, they can see, and I think this is largely what led them into fully artificial methods, was that very quickly there is a result that they can actually see. And I think now that the that artificial fertilisers and all of the other things and the depletion of our organic matter in our soils has got to the point where it is now to, you know, for instance, people who have been using superphosphate, single superphosphate, who may have started with 200 weight to the acre, ended up with double that amount and not getting any results. Immediately they reintroduced the biology to the soil to release that tied up phosphorus. They got better results than they got from even their first application of superphosphate. And this really excites them. And so I think it is only a matter of getting them started once we get that life actively operating in the soil and making what is tied up on the clay colloids, make it available to the plants. It is very, very recognisable. The other thing is that flavour, colour and keeping quality are very, very quickly, like in any single crop, the first lot of mature fruit or vegetables that you get, the flavour, the keeping quality and the colour and the aroma are just so much enhanced that most people get up and gallop with it.
Great, great. John, I've got a question that was asked yesterday by one of our farmers in South Australia. Laurie was his first name. And he's on Kingston, South Australia. That's where his property is. And it's been sort of marshy floodplains off the Murray, and it's been drained, and he's still got salt pans on parts of his property, which he's correcting. You did mention some work that you did on with salt pans or salt areas. What's something he could do?
Well, I think the main thing is to get the fresh water back onto the top of the salt water, which in one place where Hamish and I have done workshops over the years, the first application of the BD preparations, actually we visited the property. It's quite a big property, and there was, well, you could stand in any one spot and see salt schools, some of them about as big as a bathtub, some a bit bigger, but they were all over the property. After the first two applications, they started to disappear. 2 years later, it was very, very difficult to find any of those scald patches at all. And when you actually went out and dug, you could see that the water was now, sort of the fresh water, was about 6 or 7 inches deep into the soil, which was pushing the salt water back.
Are we talking about rainwater? Because that's the only water he's got.
Rainwater?
Yeah, that's his only water he can put on top would be rainwater, meaning
yeah, that's
the rain.
It. Yeah, but I mean, putting it on top, you need it down in the soil to push the saline back into the soil.
Yep.
All of our, like that is the source of salinity in Australia, is the lack of fresh water holding the salt water down. And
right.
Exactly the situation, you know, draining our wet lands, because that was our best soil, when we drained it, we simply let the salt water come to the surface.
Right. And so you would use a BD preparation to start the process?
Absolutely, yeah, to improve the soil structure, to let the fresh water go down 6 inches instead of running off.
Right.
You know, we've got to have that inflow of the rainwater to actually soak into the soil where it falls to push the salt back down again.
Which BD preparations would you use? Both of them?
The soil activator and then the 500 or any of them, but certainly the soil activator to start with and then the 500.
The 501, the silica, yep.
Yeah, and the silica. Well, the silica is in the preparation, but, yeah, we need... Silica is very important in the... In improving the soil structure, because it's bringing light into the soil, and where you've got light, you've got life. So yeah, we need it all. But you know, probably three or four applications a year, and you will find that the salt water will be pushed down by the retention of the fresh water in the topsoil.
Good, very good. If anyone else wants to ask a question, just press star 7 and start talking. Don't wait for us to stop. Now, we're getting closer to finishing. Hamish and John, is there anything that you'd like to have to say to farmers as a message that encourages them?
Probably a lot of the areas that have had so much flooding this year, I think one of the quickest way to reduce the amount of activity in our soil, both fungal and bacteria, is flooding or waterlogging. And fortunately, we can, with the 50% or the agricultural hydrogen peroxide, we can add oxygen back into the soil, which really stimulates the bacteria and fungi. And if we add energy to that in the form of molasses, we can really rejuvenate our soil quickly after it's been inundated with flood, or if it's been drought affected for a long time, or if it's been compacted by stimulating our bacteria with energy and oxygen via hydrogen peroxide and molasses. We can really rejuvenate our soil quickly when it's had a hard time.
Well, a lot of what you just said, flood, dryness, compaction is one very big problem. So that covers, you've covered a lot there, John.
Yeah, that 50% hydrogen peroxide, we're only using one part of it in 130 parts of water. So it works out like in a lot of the very, very heavy black soil country that compacts, it's only costing, the actual material is only costing about 80 cents a hectare, the hydrogen peroxide. So it's cheaper than using any other sort of aeration machinery or anything else.
What was the proportion of molasses?
In molasses, about 1 in 40.
Yep.
One part of molasses, 40 parts of water. But yep. The hydrogen peroxide, if it's 50% hydrogen peroxide, it's 1 in 130, one part hydrogen peroxide in 130 parts of water.
Right, right. Now, Hamish, what would you like to say for farmers in relation to biodynamics and the last two DVDs that they would have seen?
Well, you know, I do what I do because I when I first came across biodynamics, we'd been through the 60s drought, and if we can actually build humus into the soil, we can actually make Australia both drought tolerant and flood tolerant. In other words, in this 10-year drought, the biodynamic guys or the people who had their soil, had good soil, good humic soil, were the last into the drought. And they were the first out of the drought. When it did rain, like Shane Joyce in Queensland was saying, that he had a moisture profile coming out of the drought where the moisture went down 2 feet and then it was powder dry. And he said the grass was pouring out of the ground for him, where his neighbour, who just had compacted soil, virtually had no growth. So he came out of the drought pretty quickly. With flood, the more humus and the more air, the more life you've got in the soil, the more slowly the water will go through the soil. So you will lose some of the wash, and you'll hold a lot of that moisture in the water in the soil, and the organic matter will tend to hang together more, so you'll have less erosion. Keep going.
Less leaching of the nutrients in the soil.
Yes, because
with the organic matter
held in the humus.
Yeah,
and so that's what first attracted me to this, and then I find that it's actually also the cheapest and the easiest. And I don't want to go into the different other sort of organic and biological systems, but I can assure you, if you research any of these, even if you're buying the Biodynamic preparations, it's pretty well the cheapest. And once you've got yourself up and running, you can make all these preparations yourself. And once you've achieved that, then you've really got very, very little input cost. And so that's one end of it. And on the quality end, I believe that food quality is going to become very important, because the deficiency illnesses, the degenerative illnesses are increasing. And we have to be able to grow the food that will nourish people. And one thing that gave me great hope, there's an expat Australian farming in upstate New York. He's been there for 20, 30 years. I visited him 20 years ago. But he said there's a new movement in New Jersey. They're called the New Jersey Mums. And these are young professional women who are highly technical, savvy, intelligent, you know, doing well in what they're doing. And they're starting to have children. And so they're starting to face all the parenthood issues, vaccinations, raw milk, you know, organic food, whatever. And they're using their technical savvy, social media savvy, and their professional attitude, and they're really starting to look for decent food, because they're doing their research and they're finding that actually whatever the politicians say, whatever the big scientists say, on the social media level, people are reporting good results from good food. And we've got to be ready for these guys, because they can, there's large numbers of them, and they can change their eating habits overnight. We can't change the farming production overnight. I believe we can change it in very few years, but we've got to be ready for these guys, because they're going to be the market of the future, driving you know, where we're going in a certain sense. And so I'm totally confident the Biodynamics will give you good results. It'll be quality food, quality produce. It'll be relatively cheap to do. Just on that level, just right down to your ploughing. Arthur Dakin, growing wheat out at Ningen, he was downsizing his tractor to pull the same plough, while his neighbour was upsizing his tractor to pull the same plough. The neighbour's soil was getting harder and harder, and Arthur's soil was getting more and more friable. He used less horsepower to cultivate. So, you know, on all aspects, whether it's flood or drought, your cost regime, your weed regime, your worm burdens in animals, etc., that's all one side of it. But don't lose track. There is a generation coming through, or there is a serious proportion of a generation coming through that are going to come knocking on your door in the next 10 years. And if you're ready, the market's there.
Now, on that note, I'd like to ask you, John, or to you explain, John, because I heard from your wife that a lot of your citrus goes to people who are doing home deliveries, which ties in with what Hamish was saying. Would you like to comment on that, please, John?
Well, probably in the last 4 years, one lady who does it, she bought the business that was supplying 50 boxes. She just refers to them as boxes, of fruit and vegetables a week. The following year it was 75, and the next year it was 150. This year is 225. So that was a start from 50 that she bought, 50 customers that she bought when she bought the business. She's now 225. So there's a remarkable growth as far as meat is concerned. I don't think, you know, it's going to be years before we catch the supply catches up with demand, and I think that there is a ready sale for top quality stuff. At this stage, we can be price makers if our product is good enough, and I know of no other way of increasing the quality of our food to the same extent as we can by using the biodynamic preparations. And our management, like the preparations are one part, but our management must also cater for diversity and really work on the things that do happen naturally. And I think that the market is there for the taking at this stage.
Wonderful. I think we'll wrap up now. Hamish, would you like to, what's your final say on what we've had to say today or the last two DVDs, whichever way you want to say it?
Look, if people watch the DVDs, John and I, we do workshops pretty well around the countryside. If you'd like a workshop in your area, just contact me and we can work that out. And by all means, contact me if there are any questions, anything you'd like to follow up. I'm very, very happy to hear from you. And I can supply all the preparations and everything you need to get started.
And they contact you which way? What's the best way to contact you?
Either office at biodynamics2024.com.au or 02-6657-5270. There's a website.
Get it from your website.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Hamish. Now, John, would you like to sort of sum up, or what's the final thing you might like to say?
Oh, well, I think, my final wish is that everyone who is interested in increasing the fertility of their farm and increasing the quality of their crops, whatever it is, I don't think there is a better way of doing it. I get a lot of pleasure out of giving back to something that's been wonderful to me, and I don't mind as long as, like, if people sort of respect that I'm available after 7:30 at night. And I think you've got my phone number, haven't you, Hugo? Would be going out with your material?
No, we don't. I don't think it is.
Oh, right. It's 02-49-385-116.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen for your generosity in all accounts. The fact that you did this talk at Crinklewood, the fact that you allow us to film it, and you've made a big influence on a lot of farmers now. Quite a few farmers have commented and they like the idea of changing towards this natural way. So I really do see that you gentlemen are part of the change to a better way of farming for farmers, and farmers are appreciating it now.
Right.
So on that note, and also as you would have heard Stuart saying, there's farmers like Stuart who are keen and wanting to change.
Well, I'd say to Stuart, get in touch. John and I can come and do a workshop out there, and that to me is the best way. I think what Hugo and Helen are doing is fantastic, but it really makes a big difference to be on the spot and talking eyeball to eyeball and just seeing what the situation is.
Well, Hamish, that's exactly what John wants to do. He does want to be running sort of having his farm to be a training facility.
Great.
Well, we're very happy to. Anyway, if he gets in touch, we can do that.
Totally good. On that note, I'd like to thank both Hamish Mackay and John Priestley for coming online, and also, more importantly, I'd like to thank the farmers, because it is the farmers who make the difference in our world. So I'd like to thank all you farmers who've been online, and hopefully you can see the value of taking up something that is cheap and economical.
Fantastic. And thank you, Hugo and Helen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.